B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Hey, y'all. Mike Missinelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station.
We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missinelli Show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly where Hades the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. Our competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock ya.
Good afternoon, everybody. Mike Missinelli Show, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. We'll take you through the paces today and what I think is going to be four rather taffy pull hours, where the angst is going to just rain down on everybody today, listening, everybody calling, everybody right here at the radio station. There was a time when I would get angry at something like this. And my anger, and I think that what I'm hearing today from people, that the anger has been replaced by resignation. Like getting angry is not even a factor anymore. Because your anger doesn't influence anything. So you look at this team and you go, well, you're just resigned to the fact that there's something wrong. There's something wrong. Now, let's go through the paces here, because we have to allow, obviously, there's no Joel on the heels of no Ben. I get that. But, you know, this Sixer team has to be saying to itself, well, okay, but we're still good enough to beat this team. So let's just go out and win a game. They allowed a loss last night to a lousy team. They just allowed it to happen. And I'm watching the game and I'm going, I just can't understand how players can don't have a personal pride or an investment in a particular result when they're getting paid handsomely to have that investment. And it's something that will perplex me about this team. And you got to come to the conclusion at this point, they're going to be different, okay, when the two guys come back. I get it. But the framework of this team, they don't have a good enough competitive mentality. And that's the problem for me. I'm watching the game and I'm going, how does Tobias Harris look himself in the mirror after that game and say he gave it his best? How does Horford look in the mirror and say, I gave it my best? You know, Josh Richardson has the audacity after the game to say they need more heart. Where was his heart in that game? Well, what if those three guys are now the bellwethers for this team that's depleted without their two stars, and all three of them are good enough to engineer a win over a lousy-ass NBA team like the Cleveland Cavaliers are, and they just allow it to happen. And I don't get it. Listen, their dynamic is like the two players that they added. Now, I looked at him, I go, okay, it's going to help because it was better than what they have. But it's like, again, the Phillies bullpen. Alec Burks and Glenn Robinson III, neither of them are dynamic enough to make that much of a difference. So what do you have left? And it sure looks to me like, you know, the Brett Brown thing, whether he's a good coach or not, I don't know. But I can tell you that it has the read of a team that has completely tuned out their head coach. You know, it's like a hockey situation where a hockey coach, you know, has run the gamut with a particular team. And hockey coaches get moved on all the time because the ownership of the front office reads that they don't have an impact anymore. And I don't know whether he's a bad coach or whether they just don't have any feel for what he's trying to tell them. Last night, it looked like he was trying to coach them. They just didn't respond. They don't respond to this coach. So whether it's the coach or whether it's the players, it doesn't really matter at this point, because it seems to me that when you put all these forces together, they're inadequate on every level right now. And I know I'm overreacting to one game, and I'm overreacting to a game where they didn't have their two star players. And I know sometimes you allow for the drone of disappointment when Embiid goes out. You know, but these guys are paid professional players that have been in the league for a really long time that should embrace a competitive moment and say, okay, he's not here, but we're good enough to beat this team. And they don't do that. I feel like I'm gutted. I really do. I feel like I'm an upside down deer, and somebody's about to slash my guts and take it, you know, and process me for meat.
It's very vivid.
It is, but it's like I'm looking at the. I hear people. There's some people are angry, and I'm going, I'm not even angry. It's just like what was self-evident last night was that they just allowed a loss to happen, and I don't understand that kind of mentality in sports at all. Now, Tyrone, I know you were. I watched the Sixers Outsider last night, and you guys were kind of you and Crystal were kind of saying the same thing about this team. You had the three players that should have been carrying them last night just didn't have a will to do that.
Yeah, and I'm still angry about it because the checks keep clearing. And I know that it's not anybody's fault. Everybody you get what you can negotiate in the world. But I don't think it's too much to ask as a fan. That when you give a guy $180 million, you give another guy over $100 million, you're paying the other guy $10 million a year to beat the Cavaliers. I'm not asking them to go beat the Bucks. I understand Embiid and Simmons are out. I'm not asking them to beat the Clippers or the Lakers if those guys are out. The only thing I was asking was beat the Cavaliers. That's all I need. Beat the Cavaliers, beat the Knicks, beat Sacramento, beat teams like that. If you're going to collect that money, I think it's just fair for me as a fan to say, please, go beat the bad teams. Otherwise, get back some of the money. Like, it's under my skin for that reason. So I am resigned to the fact that now I know why they lose on the road. I know because Simmons and Embiid were not in the equation last night. You're playing Cavaliers. Tobias Harris has to play the four. Kevin Love was the primary defender on him for large stretches of the game. Kevin Love is guarding Tobias Harris. And Tobias Harris gets the three of them combined for 30 points. Like,
well, more than that, let's look at inside those numbers. Because Tobias Harris, you're right, has the ability to transport the basketball from point A to point B, which means he has the ability maybe to get to the 10.
Mm-hmm.
He shoots two free throws last night. He shoots two free throws. He's 4 for 13, two free throws, which means he doesn't go to the basket at all last night. Both he and Horford, they're playing the 4 and the 5. Horford does not shoot a free throw last night. Combined, they get 9 rebounds. Two front court players. That's just not having a will to play the game.
You're right, and they took a combined 7 shots in the second half. The game at halftime was winnable still. In the second half, those two guys, your two highest paid players, took 7 shots. They went 2 for 7 in the second half against the Cavaliers, which has the worst field goal percentage defense in the NBA. I don't think it's too much for me to ask, even on the road, to do better than that and beat the Cavaliers. And if this is all they have, I don't care if Simmons and Embiid play at a Jordan level. They can't win anything with those guys. You can't. Even if they play like Jordan, if those guys are going to do that on the road all the time, you can't win anything. You can't.
It's very perplexing, and it's not a happy time. So we'll reflect on it, and we'll talk to the people. No, so I don't even have any anger. I can't summon anything. I just can't. I don't have it. I'm looking at it, I'm going, I'm like incredulous. I'm going, do you not know that you're not playing aggressively? Like, what do you think, like, during the course of the game, what's going through your head? What is going through, as the minutes are clicking by, do you think you're doing your best? I just don't. All right, we'll talk about it. We'll talk some Flyers today, too, because we have the head coach coming on. Alain Vigneault is coming on in, 4:05. we'll talk to the Flyers head coach. But, you know, the discussion part today is basically about what this team is. And, you know, they're probably going to win tonight. Right? They'll come back and win tonight.
Three games in 4-9.
Yeah, you know, who knows? They can't lose the Knicks at home, right?
I thought they could lose the Cavs.
No, they can't lose to the Knicks at home. So they'll win, and people will go, okay, they're all right. But there's something wrong. There just is. They don't have, I don't know. We're hoping for a miracle to think that all of a sudden they're going to take the curtain, pull the curtain back on this team, and in playoffs they're going to be something different. I mean, I hope you're right, but I certainly don't see it. That's why I've been struggling with this whole thing about the first round. All right, 610-632-0975. That's how you climb in the Mike Misnelli Show. We're going to be busy all day, so we'll rock some calls as quickly as we can on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Misnelli Show.
Mike Misnelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. What's going on there? I heard a yelp. No, you just yelp.
Is the mic on?
Well, Ty just pressed it to talk to me.
Yeah, I'm talking to Rodney.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. How's Rodney doing?
He's doing good. He just came in here to check the air temperature.
Yeah, he came in here a little while. It's downright chilly in here today. Rodney's like revamped the air conditioning system to the point where we're actually comfortable.
Yeah, it feels great in here.
It's cold in here.
You're chilly?
I might have to put the coat on a little later.
Do you want my blanket?
No, I'm good. No, I'm not going to wear a blanket.
I have my blankie.
2 o'clock hour is brought to us by Ferguson HVAC Lyon Conklin. Attention HVAC contractors, visit Ferguson's County location on North 7th Street in Philadelphia today for equipment parts and supplies for every heating and cooling job. Time to start the Twitter poll. Brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Get your lawnmower, zero turn, or any of your small engine tools up and running again in time for spring with Paul B. Moyer and Sons online parts warehouse. Visit poweredbymoyer.com today. Natalie.
Thanks, Mike. Over 200 votes on this one early. Did last night make you quit on the Sixers? 39% say yes, 38% say no, and 23% said they had already quit.
How many percent already
23
quit?
Already quit. 39 quit last night. 38% still not out.
Yeah, I see. I know I love the callers that go, oh, man, I'm done. I'm going to watch a game the rest of the season. But, you know, we know that you're going to watch. But that's the way you show your disappointment. I get it. But you're not going to not watch. We're all going to watch.
Still want them to win.
I'm going
to
watch.
Exactly.
I'm going to continue to watch every dribble of every game. But last night changed me. I've been Mr. Optimism. You know I've been optimistic even through all the issues.
You have, when I've been not so optimistic.
Last night.
More realistic.
Changed.
Really?
Changed my DNA. Maybe forever.
So you think that maybe they could lose in the first round now?
No, not to
the Heat. Oh, you don't?
The Heat stink. But that's, what does that mean? The Heat lost last night to a terrible Wolves team at home. Yeah. Like, they still, like, the Heat still stink. So that doesn't, but it doesn't matter. Because now I thought maybe there would be a miracle where they could come together and maybe they do match up well with the Bucks. And maybe they give the Greek Freak all this trouble in the second round. Mm-hmm. Now, after last night, nah. They'll still beat the Heat. But nah. That's where I'm at.
I got to be honest with you. I go back and forth on this Heat thing. I know the Heat's not playing well. This team isn't good enough to say they're going to win a first-round series. They're just not. All right, I get it, but I don't like living in Miami. Like, they deal with their own damn problems. If I was a fan of Miami doing sports talk, maybe I'd say the same thing. Right now, I'm dealing with this team, and I'm looking at what this team's capable of. And I don't really think they're that capable of just winning a first-round series. So there's that. All right. Let's go back to the phones and talk to Sergio in Delaware. Sergio, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, Mike, can you hear me?
Gotcha, Sergio.
All right. So I just kind of wanted to, I want to take too much of your time. First off, a fan of the show, really love listening to 97.5, no matter who it is.
Thanks, buddy.
Gargano, you guys. Love you guys. But you hit a nail, like you hit the nail on the head earlier when you were saying, you know, this team doesn't look like they have heart. They took a lot of viewers. I hear people calling in. I even hear Anthony going back and forth with doesn't know why. Maybe he does. Why this is happening. And I mean, think about it. Like, you got Brett Brown, this guy that was losing all these games for years. Now he's supposed to just inherit these draft picks and this quote unquote talent. And then you get this guy that was a Sixers player who stole money from the Sixers, Elton Brand did, being a GM. So like, why are we even hiring him to begin with? But those are like other issues. Then you had Elton Brand bringing a guy similar to Elton Brand in Tobias Harris, where nobody can really like judge his value. Nobody can say he's worth this much or he's worth this much. He's been traded five times, including a three-team trader on draft day. He got drafted 19th overall to Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan didn't want him. Nobody wants this guy. Nobody was willing to pay this guy. That's why he was so easy to get. Like, when we were doing this trade scenario last year, when we were thinking about who could we get, we were a big, like, buyer at the trade deadline, yet we got Tobias Harris. Everybody thought, oh, this is great. He's averaging 20. He's averaging 20 on a terrible team. If you look at his averages, career is only averaging 15, and when he was on the Sixers, he only averaged 18 with us. He didn't average.
Well, listen, I will say that they did back themselves into a corner, but it's like, I'm curious to know what you would have done in that kind of situation. You did make the deal. I mean, you had Jimmy Butler and you had Tobias Harris. How are you going to handle it?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, I probably would have never even gone the Tobias route. Like,
okay, well, then you would have had nobody.
No, I mean, we don't know that. We could have done, look at some of the other teams that have made some ridiculous trades. Like, I'm not in the front office, so I'm not going to assume that I know.
Yeah, well, like, listen, forget the trades. At that point, you had two guys who were going to be free agents. What would you have done?
I would have told Jimmy Butler, and I'm not, and you're probably going to give me some backlash about this. A lot of people probably will. I would have literally told Jimmy Butler, here is the key to the city. This is your team.
All right, so you would have made a full court press on Jimmy Butler, and you would have let Tobias walk.
And then I would have told Tobias.
And suppose that
$180 million.
Okay, but suppose the reality was that Jimmy Butler doesn't want to be here, so he was going to sign in Miami anyway.
Because we weren't making him a priority. It was still Ben and Jim, and it still is Ben.
Wait, you were going to make Jimmy Butler the priority, and you had still had Ben and Embiid?
Absolutely, because
Jimmy Butler. Come on, man, that wasn't going to work. You know that. Those guys are going to be your two stars anyway. You're going to ignore the fact that they were on the team and say, Jimmy, it's your team? You couldn't do that anyway. You know, there's a lot of people that will comment after the fact, and that's fair. But if the scenario is that you backed yourself into a corner, and the Sixers probably are at fault for that. I don't know what else they could have done. They acquired Jimmy Butler. They acquired Tobias Harris, two good players to try to get him through that season. And now here they are, both free agents. So what do? One guy doesn't want to play with you. Do you let the other guy go and try to rebuild completely? I don't know. It's easy to say that. When you're in a position, you don't want to lose both of them. Tobias Harris... I get it. I understand now why he's been moved from team to team. Front offices, coaches see that he doesn't have a killer gene in him. I get it. But he still could have enough pride to win a game last night against a bad team. That's the thing I don't understand. Like, I know he's not Michael Jordan. I don't need him to be Michael Jordan that game last night. I just need him to be who he is. Lead, and the other guy, too. Like, what are you thinking? Why would you just allow a bad team to beat you? Ronald in West Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ronald.
How you doing, Mike?
What's up, Ronald?
I'm a season ticket holder for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And my hope is just draining away. You know, the first year, it was pretty cheap. Now, they've been doubling in price. What do I do? I love going down to the center. The energy down there, they give you hope, and you feel all this, you know, all this good feeling, and then you watch them on the television, and you got nothing. And I'm just to the point where, should I renew my season tickets again?
Well, they got you. I can't make that decision for you, but they got you because you already mentioned how exciting it is to go down there, and they're still going to have Ben Simmons and Embiid play next year, no matter who's going to be around them. So they got you. It's not like you can turn away. You're going to come back.
They got me by the cold.
They do. They got you. They know it. Well, they got two exciting players that cooks that house at home, which they do. You're going to be back.
Yeah, I am. but it hurts. I'll tell you, just to watch them guys play last night. And I don't get... Tell me something. Have you ever got a player from Boston that actually played good for us? You're not supposed to get no players from Boston.
Nah, that's a coincidence, man. Doesn't matter where they play. It matters how they play. Listen, Al Horford is just not invested in playing basketball at a high level. Whether it's because he doesn't want to be here or whether it's because he's hit a wall, it doesn't really matter. It is what it is. He is not invested in the game right now, which means he's stealing money. But a guy like Tobias Harris, who knows he has the ability to get the ball to the basket, to get aggressive, to get to the foul line, to make shots, doesn't do it. Like, why? Why would you not do it? What is going through your head that you just want to just let the clock expire and you go on your merry way? I'm watching that game last night, and I got a bitter look on my face. I'm like, oh, really? And like, I'm watching the bench, and I know the camera catches guys at different angles. I see Thibault on the bench, and he's talking to somebody, and he got a big smile on his face. I'm going, you guys should be miserable about this game. You should be miserable. You shouldn't even be talking to the press. Really, I would like it if you didn't talk to the press.
And paid the fine?
Yeah, whatever. You know, Al Horford is saying nonsense after the game. And then Josh Richardson throws that little quip, well, what do you think you need more? Serena asked him, what do you think you need more of? Heart. Well, dude, how about last night, where were you? Well, like, what's the heart? Where did you show heart? That's what I would like to ask him. Do you think you did your very best in that game? That's the question.
It seems like the whole locker room is almost like apathetic.
They are apathetic.
I think that's the word.
That game is so bad. You lose to a crap team, and you don't care about it. I don't know. Maybe it's just the state of sports, but that's a game where you go, oh, man, I'm so disappointed in myself. Damn it. I'm not talking to anybody. I beat myself up for the next 2 hours. Let's go to Dyson and Wayne. Dyson, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dyson.
Mr. Missinelli and company, how you doing?
What's up, Dyson?
Not much. So, just a quick Flyers point, and if I have a time, I would like to make a Sixers point.
Mm-hmm.
All right, great. So, I'd like to start with the Flyers. I just want to say, I'm not a Flyers fan by any means, but I have the utmost respect for this team, and I think that they've been playing very well. I enjoy watching them playing since December, the highest scoring team in the league. I think that this team is the Nationals of the NHL, and I think that they are a strong contender to compete for a Stanley Cup this year. What do you think?
No, I don't think they're going to compete for a Stanley Cup. I think they could possibly win two rounds, and that's where it will end.
Well, I guess we'll just have to see how it plays out, but I just really like the way that they're playing, and as I said, I'm not a huge fan of this team, but mm-hmm. I will say that, you know, I can respect the way that they're playing this year, and, you know, Alain Vigneault, you know, he's very smooth, so
he's done a great job with this team, and I can't wait to talk to him about certain things that he's implemented and why he thinks this team has evolved the way it has.
Right, I'm looking forward to hearing him on the station. And just really quickly about the Sixers, I just want to say, I don't want to sound cocky or anything, but when the season started, I can say confidently, I knew that this team was not going to contend for an NBA championship. And for me, I'm content as a Sixers fan.
Oh,
watching
good
them get-
for you! Now, why did you think that? Because, it's easy to say that now, and I guess I have to trust you that you said it then, but why did you say it then?
Of course, I'm not trying to sound like a brainiac or anything, but mm-hmm. listen, I just think that the last two seasons, the Sixers had some very talented players that really could have, cultivated a winning culture in this city. There's too much change. There's always two, three, four players that need to come in and out, trades, free agency, all this stuff. Like, we need to build a team that's stable. You know, we need to build a winning culture. We need to build like a brotherhood. This is the city of brotherly love. Let's build a brotherhood. Let's build a winning team with a strong mindset. Let's go out there and whoop some, you know what, instead of going out there and, you know, trying to make plays on the fly. I mean, I don't think it's Brett Brown's fault that these guys aren't performing well. I mean, they just had a bad night, you know, against the Cleveland Cavaliers. But I mean, at the end of the day, I think that the last 2 years we had a lot of talented players that have come through the city have helped us and have made an impact. And we just seem to just brush it off. And
I really don't know what you're saying, because you had to put together a team that accommodates each other, and that's what the Sixers have been trying to do. It's not like they've been idle. They've been trying to build the right way, and they thought they were doing it the right way this year. And at the start of the year, I don't think you were looking at this team saying, "Oh, they're wrong. They're not going to contend." We were all invested. It was a different way, but we were all convinced that they had enough talent to actually evolve from where they were and go even a step further. It hasn't worked out that way. For whatever reason, it hasn't worked out that way. Whether it's the coach, whether it's personal responsibility from certain players, whether it's the lack of progression from the stars. Maybe we thought we were going to get more this year. Something has derailed this team. Let's go to John in Germantown. John, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. John.
Hey, Mike. It's just time for Brett Brown to find another coaching job. I honestly think, you know, we could find like a former player. You know, Jason Kidd came to mind. I don't know what you think about that. And I just remember back last night when I was watching the game, we were down 6 points. Came all the way back from 20. We got down to 6 points. And then Richardson comes down and just dribbled the ball away like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that just shows a lack of concentration. He's not the ball handler. Milton is a better ball handler. He shouldn't be bringing up the ball. Tobias and Horford, the reason why they're not giving you the money's worth is because Brown is not, he's not holding these guys accountable. Now it's time for accountability.
Well, how do you hold them accountable? How do you hold pro players accountable?
You hold these players accountable by setting up certain plays for these players. You know, Tobias is an ISO player. Horford is a post-up player. You get Horford down in the post and you demand him to get to the line or get me a bucket.
He was playing the five last night. Why wasn't he doing that himself?
It just seems like the coaching, if it's not the players, it has to come down to coaching, man. And Brown is...
I can't disregard the lack of coaching right now. I mean, everything's on the table for me. They're not responding to him. It seemed like it would be a lot of post-up opportunities last night for Al Horford, since he had to play that position in place of Embiid, and he doesn't go to the foul line. Now, is that the coach's fault? Is that Al Horford's fault, not being aggressive to get his butt down there and get position? I don't know. I really don't know. It's just, I can't imagine that a guy does not know that he hasn't gone to the foul line. I just don't understand it. What is your game at this point? Embiid's out of the game. You're playing the five. What is your game? What is his game?
Well, what is it?
Just to float around and waste time?
The last 2 years, before he got here, his free throw rate had been dropping. He doesn't get to the line. This year, obviously, it's plummeted. I don't know. And last night can't be the excuse of, oh, he can't play with Embiid. That's why I'm so troubled. Last night could have been a time for Al Horford to go out and get you 18 points. And then say, see, you're not you. Maybe show something so we could say, you know what? It's all Brett. Brett's been using them wrong. But I don't know if Brett's using them wrong. Looked to me like there was a couple times on both ends where he continued to look lost despite the fact that both Simmons and Embiid were both out. So I don't know what his game is right now. I don't know. He doesn't get to the line. He hasn't been getting to the line all year. I think some of it is they don't have enough explosive athletes without Simmons and Embiid, but they still should beat the Cavaliers, because it's not like Kevin Love is an explosive athlete or Tristan Thompson is an explosive athlete or some of those other stiffs they bring off the bench. That dude paid $15 million to leave that team.
That's a terrible defensive team, and Tobias Harris couldn't get to the basket or had no willingness to get to the basket.
I think maybe that knee's bothering him, but we do the same thing with every other player. Once you're out there, no excuses, right? That's what we say for everybody else, right? If you're out there, maybe the legs bother him. I don't know. But we can't give Tobias the benefit of the doubt because this has happened too often. It's not like last night was isolated for him.
Let's get Steve in Downingtown in here. Steve, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Steve?
Hey, Mike. Good show.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, I got one word for it. Disgusted. I was disgusted, you know, going up to halftime. But I stuck through it because I thought, you know, maybe, you know, I'd make some halftime adjustments, you know. So I gave him a chance. And then when they came out of the locker room in the first 3-4 minutes, you know, I just saw... I just saw the same thing I seen in the first half. You got four guys just standing around. The guy with the ball, there's no one cutting through the lane, anything like that. Very little pick and rolls going on. I mean, you got Al Horford, like, I agree with you, you know. What's his game? He ain't supposed to be out at the top of the key shooting three-pointers. You know? You know, when your main man is out, which is supposed to be your center, you got to bring another center in there to get down on the box, you know. And I just go back to, you know, you put Moses in a position like that. He took pride, you know. He took pride in getting down low, dominating. You know, he had some self respect.
Well,
you
Moses,
know,
Moses could dominate down low. Horford's not going to be a dominant player down low.
No, but I'm just saying, if you got to have some self respect and some pride in your game, that you're going to say, you're not going to beat me down here. You know, mm-hmm. You're going to fight, and there was no fight in.
No, there wasn't any fight last night. And listen, it's reasonable to expect that a coach could coach his way past a bad team last night. It really is. I can't leave him alone.
A lot on the coaching, because like I said, I figured maybe give him till halftime, see if they make some adjustments. There was no adjustments. Like I said, there was no cutters. How a good college team could have beat them last night?
It was not pleasant. It was not a pleasant night last night.
Bickerstaff's an interim coach. He kind of did out-coach Brett Brown last night, too. Like, that is completely fair. Look, there was a couple possessions where all five guys were outside the three-point line. Mm-hmm. What is that? That's not an NBA offense. Five guys standing outside the three-point line around the horn? It didn't make any sense.
It's so weird.
And they were looking. It was the weird. I hadn't seen that. Bickerstaff, like, is this an interim coach with a bad team?
They got 36 points off their out of their bench last night. And their bench stinks. Their bench is horrendous.
Horrendous.
They got 36 points off their bench last night.
And then...
The Cleveland Cavaliers.
And they're
playing that freaking Zizic.
It's like that stiff. That stiff sitting there killing them for a while. For there was a stretch where they couldn't stop him.
Zizic in the game.
I'm sitting there going, what is this? And Shake Milton now is going off. When they get it to six, mentioned a couple callers ago how they got it to six. I thought, okay. You got Shake Milton having a career night. From here on, they got it to six. It'll be a bad win, but it'll still be a win. In a blink of an eye, it was back to 11.
There's nothing to be afraid of. These other teams, they know what they're getting.
We'll take a break. this is got gallows humor. I'm trying to laugh this thing off. I took a bad hit last night.
You did, man.
I'm stunned at the development. But you took a bad hit too with the Scarlet Knights.
I turned it off. I got
two college games where unbelievable.
I got a feed on. I see they're down 18. I'm like, I'm going to fully focus on the Sixers, right? Yeah. Next thing you know, you text me. I haven't put it back on the TV. They're up. The Rutgers is up too.
Yes.
Here comes Penn State with a big three-pointer.
And the same thing happened in the Maryland Minnesota game. Oh, I saw money just poured out my window. Come on. 610-632-0975. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
On 97.5, The Fanatic.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike Miss here. Let me talk to you about the most convenient and affordable way to help with your cleanup. You know what it is. It's the Bagster. Whatever you want to throw away. You know? Maybe you got a relative you like to put in the Bagster. Maybe you like to put Tobias Harris in the Bagster after last night. But in any event, the Bagster is just a great product. It's a 3-cubic-yard dumpster in a bag. And they sell it at Home Depots and Lowe's and local home improvement stores. It's only $29.99. Now, that's a great price, and it's so easy to use. It comes all folded up. So what you do, you take it out of the wrapper, boom, you expand it out, and it's huge. And whatever your cleanup plans are, you're cleaning out the garage, the attic, maybe do some remodeling, because it can take, like, chunks of drywall and studs and all that kind of stuff. You go buy it, you fill it, and you simply schedule a collection. They come and they pick it up. No time limits and completely on demand. What a great invention. It's the Bagster. Go online to thebagster.com to find a store nearest you. It's the Bagster dumpster in a bag.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
2:46. Mike Missinelli Show. Just to break the monotony here, so you'll be happy to know that I took the heat last night. A lot of people like when I lose a game that I recommend on the air. So last night, I looked at the line. It was in Minnesota and Maryland. We were talking about it on the air. I go, this line is screaming. First of all, it opened. Minnesota was a 1-point favorite against, and they stink. And Maryland's ranked, and they're atop the Big Ten. So I go, well, that's telling me a little something. So I get the bet, and I'm watching the game, and Minnesota has a 17-point lead at halftime. I go, oh, I'm golden. But this was after the Penn State-Rutgers game. Penn State's up by 18 against Rutgers. And all of a sudden, Rutgers comes storming back and takes the lead in the land. Well, how many seconds are left? I texted you. Whatever happened, 15 seconds or whatever it was, they take the lead, and Penn State's about to lose at home. And the next trip down, Miles Dredd makes a three. Penn State wins the game by a point.
Yeah, Rutgers had a bad possession after that, right. And that was it.
So now I'm watching the Minnesota game, you know, after the Sixers and the post-game show with Amy and Jim Lynham and Mark Jackson, and then Sixers outside. And I'm watching the Minnesota game subsequently. And you ever get that as a better? You ever get that feeling of doom?
Yes.
Like, you're ahead, but you know something bad is coming.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a bad moon rising, right? And I'm watching the game. I'm going, I watch me lose this game. And sure enough, little by little, Maryland's coming back. Minnesota misses 4 free throws in the last 40 seconds, including the front end of 2 1-and-1s where they were short. Obviously, this kid's choked.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the moment was too big for him. And it just grazed the front of the rim. That's a choke.
Yep, short arm.
It's a short arm stroke.
Mm-hmm.
And Maryland comes down, and the kid makes like a 30-foot three-pointer to put them up 1. The game goes off, Minnesota plus a half a point.
It's unbelievable.
Lost by 1. Oh, that was a bad beat last night for me.
That's tough.
In addition to the Sixers, the miserable, the Sixers losing a game like that when you really thought you had something.
Well, at least your Knicks won. I'm sitting there with the Rutgers thing, sitting there furious.
Yeah, that probably knocked Rutgers out of the tournament.
Yeah.
That loss.
Yeah.
They would have won that game, it would have been in.
Yeah. They're out now. They probably got to go win the conference tournament. They're not going to do that.
No. Jeff in Camden, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jeff.
All right, what's going on, man?
What's up, Jeff?
So, let me just say, when you get dominated by Matthew Dellavedova.
Yeah, he had 15 last night, didn't he? He had 12, 5 for 5 for the field.
But the way he did it, just like, and just this unstoppable monster of Matthew Dellavedova, who nobody wanted to defend. Not only was he making shots from the outside, but you had Matthew Dellavedova posting up in the post. Backing people down. Getting fouled.
Listen, man. Off the bench, they brought Larry Nance, Zizic, Dellavedova, and Kevin Porter. He's got a little talent, but he's like all over the place. That's the team that scored 36 points. 4 guys.
And talent and athleticism are 2 different things. I just want to say that, all right? You know, having long legs and being 7 foot, be able to run and up and down like a gazelle. That's athleticism, right?
Yeah.
But talent is to be able to will the things around you. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
When you're 7 foot, you can knock down 9 for 10 free throws. You know what I'm saying? That's not something that normally you can do.
Yeah.
Or stroke a shot. That's talent, okay? And athleticism is when you're 7 foot and all you can do is dunk and lay up, but you can run up and down. You're an athlete, but the talent's not there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So tonight is second chance time, all right?
Yeah.
Second chance time for Tobias Harris. You go out against the Knicks, and you put that Sixers jersey on, and you lose to New York Knicks. You don't show your face.
They're going to win tonight. Although the line's only 6.5. They're going to win. You know what's going to happen. They're going to win, and they're going to play well at home. But it doesn't erase it for me at this point. You know, any win at home against the Knicks is not going to erase the fact that I think there's something missing.
Well, I can't say exactly what Jack Nicholson said in The Departed with the two priests. But if you don't do this, enjoy your clams, Mop Buckler.
Enjoy your clams. Yeah, I remember
that scene. I don't know for sure if they win tonight.
They'll win tonight.
Okay.
They're not going to lose at home against this team. They'll drag them along for a little bit. It'll win in the end.
Okay.
But it doesn't matter. They beat the Knicks. What am I supposed to get out of a home win against the Knicks at this point?
Nothing.
After what they showed last night?
Nothing.
Troy in Norristown. Troy, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Troy.
Hey, how you gentlemen?
What's up, Troy?
All right. Just bear with me now. I know, you know, in the past I might get a little excited. Might not be able to get my point across how I really want to get across. Mm-hmm. And I've been sitting here and saying and thinking how I'm going to do it. But it all falls on Brett Brown, okay? It's the analogy I want to use is you have the timeout parent, and then you got the old school go out and pick your own switch, beat your butt parent, okay? And that's what the Sixers need. The Sixers need a disciplinarian. They need someone to get in these boys, get in their ass, sit them down, do whatever they got to do to teach these boys. I mean, they're, it's like...
They don't need a disciplinarian. There are no disciplinarians in the NBA. You got to show guys a plan that works. And it's evident to me at this point, they don't believe in whatever plan Brett's putting out there. They just don't play like they believe in it.
Okay, all right. Now, if you have a plan and you're trying to put it out there and they don't execute that plan how you draw it up, what are you supposed to do?
The only thing he has to do is take playing time away from him. But that's cutting off your nose to spite your face.
Well, no, it's being a discipline.
Yeah, but it's also cutting off your nose. You're paid to win games. You can't play college games with pro players. You're not gonna. All it does is cause resentment. It doesn't make them play harder.
Well, no. All right. Well, hold on. All right. So either resentment or no respect. Okay. So
well, the way you get respect is you show them a plan that works. That's how you get respect in the NBA.
But if you show them and they're not executing the plan...
But give me a disciplinarian in the league. Give me a disciplinarian. Go ahead. Go through the NBA. Who's the disciplinarian?
Who's the disciplinarian?
Who? Who is? They don't exist.
You know what? The Clippers coach.
Doc Rivers? He's not a disciplinarian. He's a player's coach. He's respected because he's had a plan that has gotten success. His plan has worked. Well, he's not a disciplinarian. He's more of a player's coach. There are no disciplinarians in the league. You just got to show guys, hey, my methodology works. Follow it. You'll win. You win. You make more money. That's the NBA path. 610-622-0975. 3 o'clock hour is ahead. Your calls. Elaine Vigneault at 4:05 on the Mike Mussinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
Another loss for the Sixers. This Fanatic Sports Update is brought to you by Temple Basketball. Bring your family to celebrate mascot Hooter the Owl's birthday at the Temple USF basketball game on Sunday, March 1st at noon at the Leocor Center. Meet local mascots, enjoy activities, and a post-game player autograph session. Kids' tickets are only $10 on game day. Visit owlsticks.com. Sixers fell to the Cavs last night, 108-94. Joel Embiid left the game after 7 minutes due to a left sprained shoulder. They'll face the Knicks tonight at home. Hear that game on the Fanatic at 7. Flyers return to action tomorrow night when they face the Rangers. Travis Konecny checked in with Farzetta and Trey this morning and talked about his coach.
Yeah, I definitely think it's helped me, the style of play that he brings to the table. I mean, it's more of a fast-paced system and forechecking and staying on teams, and I think that kind of plays right into my hands. And
Elaine Vigneault checks in with Mike today at 4:05. Get a free oil change in February with the purchase of two tires at a AAA Car Care Center. Not a member, not a problem. AAA is open to everyone. Visit AAA.com/carcare. Fanatic Pro Shop is open. Fanatic and Philly sports-themed apparel and merchandise at discount prices. Go to 975thefanatic.com. I'm Natalie Eganoff for 97.5 The Fanatic.
Mike Missinelli on 97.5.
Hearst next. Now, did you know that Hearst has been delivering Philly's hometown flavor for more than seven decades? So for the next big Flyers or Sixers game, make sure to stock up on Hearst and invite everyone, friends, family, and family friends. Hearst is also the perfect pairing for any Philly sandwich. Don't leave your cheesesteak, roast pork sandwich, or Italian hoagie feeling lonely. Just add a bag of Hearst. And just grab a few bags of your favorite Hearst snacks the next time you're at the grocery store. Hers offers a delicious variety of family favorite chip flavors like crisp and tasty, sour cream and onion, salt and vinegar, and the fan favorite, straight ripples. Or mix it up and enjoy their other tasty snacks. You ever try their hot cheese popcorn or their honey cheese curls? When it comes to snacking, keep it Philly Philly and only choose Hers snacks. Hers, the official snacks when watching your 76ers and Flyers.